The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." This is the Gospel of the Lord. As the congregation is seated, I invite my young friends forward for a children's message. Morning, guys. We had lots of friends at 8:30. Liam, I won't start without you. You don't come with it. Good morning. Good morning. Hi, bud. A nice dinosaur hat. What did we stick in the middle of the church today? A candle on the baptismal font. You both are right. That's right. It is heavy. It took Dr. Olson and I together. And we had to breathe and all that sort of stuff to move it. Your dad is one of our helpers too, that's right. Yeah.
Also, my son is a kid.
Yep, there you go. You know the connections, that's right. So, here's this baptismal font today. And when we're baptized, sometimes as babies, sometimes as adults, when we have that moment, the water is not just like water from the sink, but it is the water at work through the Holy Spirit. Heard us say Holy Spirit a lot today? Yep, that is God among us. And when we receive our baptism, we are claimed by God. You know what that means? It's like God's... Are you counting how many times we say Holy Spirit? Okay. When God claims us, that means that we belong to God. And we belong to different parents, and we have moms and dads and everything. Yeah, that's very cool. I want to look at that after church. But we belong to God, and God claims us. And you know what? That's not just something for kids. It's something for grown-ups, too. So today is a day when we can be reminded that we belong to God. And on the day that we celebrate the story of Jesus being baptized in a river, that was the story I just read a moment ago, we can also be reminded that in our baptisms, we belong to God. So we did something with all the kids at first service that we're going to do here in just a moment with you, and then I hope the grown-ups do when they come up for communion today. What we're going to do is we're going to go over to that baptismal font after we say our prayer, and we're going to take just our finger and stick it in the water, and then make the sign of the cross on our forehead, and I'm going to say, "Remember that you are a child of God." Okay, remember that you are a child of God. And I want you to remember that, because nothing can ever take that away. Nothing can ever take away the fact that you belong to God. Nothing bad you do, nothing in the world, nothing can take that away. You always belong to God. And so as grown-ups come up for communion today, I hope that they will do the same thing and dip their finger in the water and remember that they are children of God too. Even the oldest person in this room is still the child of God. Think we can remember all that? Good. All right, we'll say our prayer and then we'll do that on our way back to our seats. Okay. Good morning, God.
Good morning, God.
Thank you for this day.
Thank you for this day.
Thank you for the gift of baptism.
Thank you for the gift of baptism.
For sending Jesus.
Proclaim
grace
and love
and to be yours
forever.
Help us
share
Jesus' love
every day.
We love you, God.
Amen.
All right, meet me at the font here. We'll do this politely. We'll take one finger. Oh, you're a big boy. Yeah, you got it. Okay. Say, remember that you are a child of God. Good job, guys. It is. Yeah, I got warm water for you. Don't worry. I just went before service and got the business. All right. Boys, remember that you are children of God. We told that to a lot of kids at 8:30 this morning, and we'll remind the grown-ups of that when they come up too. Thank you all for coming. Go back to your seats. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Do you remember? Sometimes that question gets hard to answer. Do you remember? For example, if I were to ask you, do you remember all the gifts that you received for Christmas 3 years ago? Would you remember? Probably not. If I ask you, do you remember every person who was at your Thanksgiving table in 1996? Could you remember? Probably not. If I ask you to remember the place where you went for dinner the night of your high school graduation and what you ate, would you remember? Probably not. Thankfully now we have things like Facebook to remind us of what happened 8 years ago, but even then we need the picture to help. Our memories help us to treasure all of our life experiences. But over time, our memories fade. The challenges of a full brain with everything else that we have to manage, everything else that goes on in our lives, and the changes in our brains as we age all sometimes get in the way of our memories. And so when we're asked this day to remember, one of the things that is often called upon us on this day of the baptism of our Lord is to remember our own baptisms. But that is not always easy, especially in a tradition where many of us were baptized as infants. And so this call today to remember that we are a child of God, cannot be rooted in the limits of our own brains, which we know will sometimes fail us, but rather in the promise made known in this gospel text this day. The Gospel of Mark, with all of its urgency that we can come to expect over this next liturgical year, is a reminder that things happen fast. No Christmas story in Mark, rather chapter 1 begins with the baptism story. Jesus comes to the River Jordan where John the Baptist, who we've heard of from other gospel texts, is ready and waiting. And as Jesus comes closer, John recognizes that he is not worthy even to untie his sandals. But God has it this way, that Jesus will indeed be baptized there in the river that day, among so many others who are being baptized, so that God's work might be done, so that the proclamation of God being sent into the world, fully human and fully divine, might be known by all those who are gathered that day, and by all those who will encounter Jesus in the years of public ministry to come. And so here on this day, when we celebrate the baptism of our Lord, what we are celebrating is the gift of that connection with God. The gift of God's grace made known through Christ, who was born to live and teach and heal among us, and then die and rise so that we might know the fullness of God's grace. Something that we can all remember as we gather each week in worship. And so here today we come together not so much to remember our own baptisms and the limits that our own brains have upon us, but to remember the gift of baptism given through the baptism of Christ our Lord, and to celebrate the promise that we are not baptized in Apollo's name or Paul's name or any name that passes the generations, but rather that we are rooted and claimed in God's love. Rooted and claimed in God's love. In the world we live in today, we need to hear that promise. A promise that no matter what befalls us, no matter what the state of the world is, no matter what the state of the relationships in our lives, or our own well-being, or our own sense of worth, that we are worthy in the eyes of God. Worthy to be claimed, not by anything that we have done, but by rather what God has done for us. And so we turn to the simplest of theological points as we celebrate the baptism of our Lord today. That it is simply by God's grace that we are gathered. God's grace made known to us in this sacrament of baptism. That even though we only experience it once in our lives, stays with us always. Sometimes we forget our baptisms. Or we cling to that sepia tone picture to remember who was there that day. But even though we might not be able to fully remember our own baptisms or those of our children or grandchildren, what we can come together this day is to be claimed in this word, which is held and always given to us year after year as a reminder of God's love for us. It is rooted in God's grace that we are present, not by our own doings. I have a lot of books on my bookshelf in my office, but none might be more important to me than this simple little paperback red book. It's called The Use of the Means of Grace, and it's a statement on the practice of word and sacrament. Friends, if you ever ask me a sacramental question, this is where I'm going to turn. This has been a thought-out piece of work that professors and leaders of our church have gathered together and write to capture the beauty of words, which explains our love and our care for these sacraments that God has given us. And as a minister of word and sacrament, I take seriously my responsibility of proclaiming and sharing and caring for these two sacraments which we have of baptism and Holy Communion. You know I love to joke around, but at the sacraments, you won't find that from me. As Pastor Carter and I were in conversation this week, we were talking about baptism, and we stumbled upon this quote, and I want to share it with you today. Since ancient times, the Christian church has baptized both infants and adults. Our times require great seriousness about evangelization and readiness to welcome unbaptized adults to the reception of the faith and to baptism into Christ. Our children also need this sign and means of grace, and it is continued power in their lives. In either case, baptism is God's gift of overwhelming grace. I'll say that again. Baptism is God's gift of overwhelming grace. We baptize infants as if they were adults, addressing them with questions, words, and promises their parents, sponsors, and congregation are to help them know and believe as they grow in years. And we baptize adults as if they were infants, washing them and clothing them with God's love in Christ. In our baptisms, as adults or infants, children or teenagers, whenever we might encounter that peace along the way, we recognize the gift of God's overwhelming grace. In those words, that these times require great seriousness about evangelization and readiness to welcome unbaptized adults to the reception of the faith and to baptism into Christ, mean more than they might ever have before. Baptism does not belong to any denomination. It is not claimed by any where we might be expected to remember the date or look forward to that as a future milestone which we will accomplish. Rather, baptism is a gift given to us, often by our parents when we don't even recognize it. But it is a gift of God's love nonetheless. And so on this day, when we gather together to celebrate the baptism of Christ our Lord, in which we all share in our own baptisms, we are reminded today of the ongoing gift of baptism in our lives. I love how Mark tells the story of the baptism with the heavens ripping open and the Spirit descending down in the form of the dove and the voice from heaven, which everybody pictures in its own tone, saying, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." That's powerful. That is one of the pieces of Scripture that I would have most loved to witness firsthand. But what Mark does with this pattern of the heavens opening and the Spirit descending and God speaking is practiced three times in Mark, here in this story at Jesus' baptism. In the story of the transfiguration upon the mountaintop, where the divinity of God is seen fully in the ever-presence of Christ among those whom God has claimed.
And finally, in the story of Easter, when God once again claims Jesus as God's own. And so this story becomes our story. And as we live our lives as baptized children of God, we need to remember that it is not simply something that happens once and we mark as a milestone that we might find a candle or picture to remember, but rather how we live our lives. Not just in our beginnings, but in our transfiguration moments in our lives where the light of Christ reflects in us. And ultimately, the greatest gift of baptism shown in the Easter story promised to us. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. This gift of baptism is ongoing. It is not something that we simply receive and remember, but rather that we live out. And so when we're called to remember our baptism, it is those words that you were asked just a few moments ago in the affirmation, which really allows us to do so. We don't remember by thinking back to a particular day, rather we remember in our actions of faith. Because faith, in essence, is our response to everything God has done for us through grace. And so because God has made this covenant with us in baptism, because God has given us this gift of grace, we remember our baptism by living among God's faithful people, by hearing the word of God and sharing the Lord's Supper, by proclaiming the good news of Christ through word and deed, serving all people, following the example of Jesus, and striving for justice and peace in all the earth. Remembering our baptism is not to think back to a particular day, but rather it is to look forward to see how God is at work in our lives of faith as we share in what God has first given us. Today, our lives of faith grow a little bit because a familiar face takes on a new role. I've been privileged to get to know Pastor Lori Carter, as when I arrived, she was here as Pastor Trexler's assistant to fill in and be able to take care of needs of hospital and pastoral care when he was back at Lutheridge or otherwise traveling. And as I arrived, that was a benefit to me so that I might take Sabbath time on my days off and when other needs might come up. But clearly we saw a need for additional pastoral care in the community, knowing that this church is bigger than one pastor can handle, and we saw the gifts of Pastor Carter at work and went through the Holy Spirit's process of inviting and conversation with others, and yet we were drawn back to the gift that was already among us, the gift that Pastor Carter will bring in her love and care for congregation, which she will promise to uphold in her installation in just a few moments at the end of our worship today. But the reminder that Pastor Carter brings to us is she comes to us from a different tradition, now claiming her Lutheran roots and her understanding of how she's living out God's love now, is indeed what the gift of baptism is all about. That none of us are claimed by titles of this world. None of us are claimed by traditions that were part of our story and may always be. None of us are claimed by our last names, or where we come from, or where we graduated from. Rather, our claim is God's. God's claim in us. And so today, as you do come forward for communion, I pray that you really will dip your finger in, yes, it is warm water, and make the sign of the cross on your forehead. And remember that you are a child of God. Remember that God has claimed you. Remember that you are a recipient of God's amazing grace, which nothing in the world can get away of. And remember that God calls you to go out into the world to live a life of faith, here and anywhere else you may walk. We will forget things. We can't remember everything. But we remember our baptisms by living out a life of faith, as we are reminded and it was made known to us as the heavens declared, through the gift of God's Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.